Matthew 25, if you would, please. Over the last 15 months, you've heard me reference this passage of Scripture many times, and because it's such a good example to us as believers of our lives and in service of the Lord and His work. And so here we are in Matthew 25. We're going to read today verses 14 through 30. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, please, you'll read with me on the even verses. So we'll begin together, and I'll read by myself on the odd verses, beginning in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them 5. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But when he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast thou that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So lately we've been talking about this idea of stewardship. And we ought to be a good steward for the Lord. I mean, doesn't he deserve that? And look here in our text, and this thing says, For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. We have here someone who is honored and who is over all of something in a particular place. Jesus likens it to the kingdom of heaven. Well, I can only think of one that's over all the kingdom of heaven. That's God. And doesn't the Bible itself teach us that he is deserving of all glory and honor and praise and love and worship and just all things, right? Is he not above all things? Is he not over all things? He's God, right? I mean, what more really needs to be said? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Right? I mean, it's God. And so the Jesus is saying this is a story. This is a representation. And it says who called his own servants. So these are people that are servants of God. They're his own servants. Are we not his own if we're born again? Hey, listen. Who could God trust other than his own? All right? And he delivered unto them his goods. See, he's bestowed something upon these servants, his own servants. These were not just rent-a-servants. You know, these were the Uber driver. These were his own servants. And he delivered unto them his goods. He gave them and entrusted them with something of his own that was precious. You see, in stewardship, again, just to kind of review, we often just think about money. And listen, part of stewardship, and really, if you will, a small part of it is about the money. In the world, it's all about the money. Right? But guess what? We're not of the world. Your life should not be dictated by money. If it is, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for you. Because money's a terrible master. It's a great tool. Terrible master. If you are just concerned about chasing the almighty dollar, you're going to chase and chase and chase and chase and chase. You'll never be satisfied. You know what people want? They want to be millionaires, right? When they become millionaires, you know what they want? Yeah. They want more. When they become billionaires, you know what they want? More. Does it ever end? No. It doesn't. They're nuts. It doesn't satisfy. You know what satisfies? God satisfies. He satisfies. So listen, that's why it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil. Did you know that? I don't mind having the stuff around. It's okay. But you know what? It's a great tool. Terrible master. Terrible. So this thing of stewardship is not just about money. Because, you know, a lot of times us Baptists take a beating for this. You know, all those preachers want is you want your money. No, actually, I don't. It helps. You know what I want? I want us to be a good steward of all that God has given us. Now, I know in this story that the word talent is used. Okay? That is a representation of a measurement of money. Okay? I understand that. But for sake of being alliterated, God wants us to be good stewards of our, we learned last week, our time. This week, our talents. And next week, we're going to talk about our treasure. Okay? Now, what I mean by talents, we're going to look at verse 14. I'm sorry, look at verse 15. And unto one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And here's where I want to focus. And the reason why this is called being a stewardship of the talent is because it's alliterated with a T, and the word I want to use has an A, begins with an A. His delivered unto them according to his several ability. We're going to be focusing on your ability, your talents in that regard. What God has bestowed upon you, your capacity, your ability, what you can accomplish, what you can handle, what you're made of. Okay, and I know it's the same thing I made, the cells and DNA structure, etc. Yeah, I understand that. But, you know, a lot of people have different abilities. Thankfully, right? We're not all the same. I mean, how would you like it if everybody was a preacher? This church would have like, you know, 60, 70 pastors. That'd be amazing. No, that'd be disastrous. No, we're all different. And thank God we are, right? Listen, I'm just saying, well, he gave them according to their several ability. So God was playing favorites. He had his favorite servant and he gave his favorite servant 5 talents. And then the next favorite, he gave 2 talents. And then the least favorite, he gave 1. No, it wasn't about playing favorites. Yeah, well, God likes you more than he likes me because, you know, he lets you be the pastor and I just get to be a laborer and we're going out to work in this world. No. It's about not about favorites. God knows what we're capable of. God has made us. And guess what? All talents and abilities are given by God. They're given by God. Just as much as the time that we have is given by God. Right? I mean, we're born. Some live a little while. I've known of cases where a child was born and it lived for 24 hours. You know, that's very sad, very tragic. But you know what? God knew the duration of time that that individual would be alive. He did. And you know what? We were just talking about somebody that Brother Parks knows that's 100 years old. Great. That's the duration of time that God has for that individual. We don't know, but guess what? It's given by God. It's appointed by God. And so is your makeup. And that's not what you put on your face today, ladies. What you're made of. What you're capable of, your aptitude, your ability, your whatever you're good at. You know, some folks are good at these things, and some folks are good at these things, and some have a natural talent. Can I tell you something? All of our talents are natural. They're given by God. Whatever it is you're able to do. Some folks can crunch numbers. Some folks can write words. Some people can build things. Some people can destroy things. I'm really good at that. Whatever. One of my favorite things about a remodeling thing is the destruction part. That's great. You just get a big hammer and go at it. But that was one of our mottos in the electronics world in the Navy is if you can't fix it, get a bigger hammer. I mean, because, you know, hammers and electronics go really good together. amen. But our abilities, our talents, they're God-given. So let me ask you this. In our story, we read that the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. He called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. To whom do these goods belong? The master. When he delivered them to his servants, did they become the property of the servant? Did they transfer to the servant for the servant to use however he wanted to use them? No. They were still the master's. And they were to be used for the master. See, how do we know that? Well, when he came back, the one that had been given 5 came to the master and said, "Master, I have taken these 5 and I've used them for you to get you 5 more. Now you have 10, master." The servant didn't receive any of them. He did not get to keep any of them. They were not for him. And the servant knew it the whole time that he was gone. He said, "Hey, I'm earning these for my master. They're for him. I'm using them for him. I'm investing this one, I'm doing this with this one, so this one can gain this one, and this one can gain this one, so that when he comes back, I can give him 10 of them." The man that had 2 did the same. All the time, as these servants are answering, they're telling him that they have made these for him, and they presented them to him, and they receive a commendation. Well done! Good and faithful servant. So which one did it? Well, there was one man who was delivered 1 talent. And he did nothing with it. Nothing. And the master asked him when he came back, and he said, "Hey, why didn't you at least take it to the bank? They'd have given me some interest, even though it's very small." You know, it's tax season, right? Everybody having fun with taxes? Yay, taxes. You know, you get these statements back from the bank, right? No, you don't. Okay. Well, I do. And they have on there, you know, your dividends or your interest that they get, you know, 25 cents. Wow. You know, the stamp that they used to mail me the statement cost more than the interest they gave me. That's like, oh, you know what? Tell you what. Keep the statement. Give me the stamp. It's worth more than the interest you gave me. Oh, man. But, you know, he said, "Hey, at least I could have got a little. Could have made a quarter. But I've made nothing. Because you didn't even do anything with it. You could have at least done something." You know, our talents are given by God. They're given by God. They've been bestowed upon us. He delivered unto them his goods. You know, as God, in his divine plan, why he ever even thought of allowing me to be born. And I know I'm an odd duck. I know. I guess I'm God's odd duck. Because he made me. He designed me. So if you have any complaints, just send them up through your prayer time. You know, we ought to just understand that everything that we are, your computing ability as far as your brain functions and your what you can learn from academics, and you know, you say, "Well, I was just a C student, or I'm just not good with that book stuff, but I'm good with my hands." God did that. All talents are given by God. Take your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. As you do, I'm going to read to you out of Psalm 139. David said, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Oh, David knew that God was his maker. And he made him. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. In Jeremiah, are you there in chapter 1? Look at verse 4. "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." That ought to blow everybody's mind completely away. Wow. I mean, goodness. "And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." That ought to blow you away. So not only did God know Jeremiah before he was even formed, but he had already, before Jeremiah was even conceived, had set him aside for a purpose. "And ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations." I mean, that statement of Jeremiah is just mind-boggling. But can I tell you something? He is not the only one. I mean, use a good southern term. All y'all. That's a good term. I mean, everybody. We're all that way in God's eyes. He said, "Ah, Lord God, behold," now listen to this,
I cannot speak.
Wait a minute. Jeremiah, God just said he knew you before you ever conceived. God just said he had set you apart and ordained you to be a prophet. Guess what prophets do? They speak.
God, I know you made me. You even knew me before I was me.
And you set me apart to speak for you, but I can't do it. Okay, Jeremiah. Really? He said, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So God was going to win this argument. Don't argue with God. I always tell people, don't argue with me. I'm so competitive, okay, that I won't argue unless I know I'm right. So that's why you should never argue with me. Okay, some of you got that. Okay, good. But God said, hey, you're going to do it because I formed you. I made you. I sanctified you. I set you apart. I ordained you. You're going to go do it. And don't say that you can't. Can I say, dear one in Christ, God knew you before you were born. God set you apart for something. He's ordained you for His purpose. Don't say that you can't. Because you can. Because you can. I may have told you this before. I don't remember because I have that difficulty. But if you knew me before I was called to preach, you'd say, he'll never be any kind of a speaker. I remember times in school when we had to give a report or a speech, standing up in front of my class, and I did not like being in front of people. You say, what? You? Yeah, it's me. Oh, I was terrified of it. I hated speaking. I was kind of a loner. I was just happy being by myself and not being around anybody. You say, you? The social butterfly? Yeah, me. Who doesn't know a stranger? And I don't. You know what? God did that in me. He did that in me. You know, talents are given by God. He knows us. He set us apart. He's put us aside for His service. Remember Solomon? He asked God for the ability to judge His people and discern judgment. God said, okay. You know, Solomon, on his own accord, didn't study all the books and study these things so that he could be a good judge for God's people. That was God given. God bestowed it upon him to be the wisest man in all the earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, would not have you to be ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. In Ephesians 4 it says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In James 1:17, the Bible tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature, of his creatures. In 1 Peter 4, it says, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know what, folks? We've been given our talents and abilities by God. So in order to be a good steward, as is in our text, if you'll turn back there, that he gave these, delivered these goods unto these servants. And as soon as he took his journey, the moment he left town, verse 16 happens, then he that had received the talents, the five talents, went and traded them with the same and made other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. And they did this continually because it says in verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. Let me paint the picture here. The man delivers the talents to these servants. He says immediately these servants get to work. And they work for a long time. Right? Two of them did. One of them went and buried the thing. That took what? An hour? Maybe he had to draw a treasure map so he knew where it was. That may have taken him a little extra time. But for a long time, while they were trading and turning those five into another five, and those two into another two, he sat around and did nothing. I mean, he didn't have anything to trade. He didn't have anything to work on. Because it was in the ground. So would you call that a good servant? Not serving? Not working? Mr. Five was working. Mr. Two was working. Mr. One was sitting around doing nothing. You know what? This tells us that our talents not only are given by God, but they're to be used for God. They're to be used for God. They're to be employed in God's purpose. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In our text today, wasn't that not just reasonable? It seems like it was very reasonable and very expected. I mean, the master said basically to the one that did nothing, he said, look, Even if you would have just taken my money over to the bank and put it in there, at least when I came back, you could have brought me my talent and the usury that went with it. And okay, you did something, but you buried it in the ground and did nothing. What has God bestowed upon you that you are doing nothing? It's our reasonable service to do whatever God has for us to do. Hey, guess what? Hello. My name is Eric. Yeah, I can speak. You say, what a talent. Thank you. It's an ability to speak. You know, there are people that cannot speak. You know what? I have these things on the side of my head. My wife may not think so, but they do hear. I can listen. You know these little things? I can see.
I can walk. I can reach into a pocket and I can hand a gospel tract out. You say, oh, that's not a talent. It's not. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Told Jeremiah, hey, I've already set you apart. I've already sanctified you. I've already ordained you to speak forth these things. He ordained us to do that. We should use our abilities and talents for God. Even if it's what we think a small amount. Did you notice in the story, it wasn't about the amounts. He gave to them according to their several ability. He knew the five guy could do five more. He knew the two guy could do two more. He knew the one guy could do one more. He knew it. Hey, it doesn't matter if you're a five, a 10, a 50, a 1,000. It doesn't matter if you're a half or a quarter or an eighth. It's a several ability. It wasn't about the amounts. The five got the same commendation as the two. And the one, if he would have done right, would have gotten the same commendation as the other ones. It's not about amount. It's about whatever God has given us to use is to be used for him. Paul told the Corinthians, this is on a particular subject, but it makes sense for the whole. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. All of our breath, all of our being, all of our talents and abilities ought to be used for the glory of God. You know, in another account, in Luke 19, the nobleman went into a far country to receive himself for a kingdom and to return. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. It's a reasonable service. They ought to be used for God. You are the salt of the earth. But the salt have lost his savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? Thenceforth good for nothing, to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Our one talent servant, wasn't he cast out too? Reprimanded. You're good for nothing. If you can't even take my talent to the bank, if you can't even do that, what good are you to me? Do you really want to take that chance with God? I don't. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. I mean, what good is a light under a bushel? Secondly, it's going to start a big fire and cause destruction, because that bushel is probably made of some kind of fibrous material that will light on fire. You know what I mean? That's not good. Let your light so shine before men, so that they may see your good works and glorify you. No. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. What? Paul said. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God with it. He's given you the ability. Use it for him. We already talked about Jeremiah and him saying that he cannot speak. Remember Moses? Hey, listen. Hebrew boy. Spared by God for a purpose, yes? Can anybody argue with that? What are the chances? This goodly child born to this Hebrew couple, placed in a basket, washed by his big sister, placed into the reeds there, and the princess finds him. The crocodile could have found him first. No mistake, folks. That was not a coincidence. raised in Pharaoh's house. And listen, I'm not much for the idea of being raised in the world, because Egypt's a picture of the world. But listen to this. He did receive a high quality education. He was treated as royalty. His eloquence in his speech would have been magnificent. Because guess what pharaohs and those rulers were? They were first class. Everybody understand? Look what Moses says. Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent." First of all, to know the word eloquent, you got to be eloquent. I didn't even know to say that. Oh, neither heretofore. Ooh. Big word. "Nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." You know what? His excuse is eloquent. Come on, Moses. Who are you kidding? I've always said excuses like armpits. Everybody has two and they both stink. The Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." Okay. Good enough for me. Right? I launched the excuse out there. And you knocked it down. I'm good, God. Okay. I believe you. This is burning bush in front of me. If I can believe that, I can believe you. Wait a minute. Moses sure is obstinate here. I lost my spot. Oh, there it is. And he said, "O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send." And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Come on, Moses! Isn't that good enough that God said, "Hey, who hath made man's mouth? I'll be with your mouth. I'll teach you what to say." Okay, God. I know you can do that. But we give so many excuses. And God was mad at him. He was angry with Moses because of Moses not trusting God. How many times have we said, "God, I can't do that"? God's like, "Hey, I made you to do that. Yes, you can." Who makes the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Who hath made man's mouth? Yes, you can. Because these talents are to be used for God. God had a job for Moses to do. God formed Moses. He designed him. He had him go through all those things that he went through so that he could be the leader of God's people. And he was to be the mouthpiece. And he was to be the one. God said, "I made you for this, Moses. Now go do it." "God, I can't." Jeremiah said, "I can't." God said, "Don't say you're a child. You're not a child. I made you for this." Can you imagine what it would have been like if Esther would have said, "I can't do this"? Mordecai said, "You're here for such a time as this. This is your time. You were made for this." Aren't you glad she did it? What a great example. You know what? Even Jesus said, "God, let this cup pass from me." Aren't you glad it didn't stop there? "Not my will, but thine be done." When are you going to give up and let God do with your life what he wants to do with your life? what he made you for. It's not just about the money. It's such a small part of it. That's why we're going to talk about it last. You say, when's that? Next week. It's about your time. It's about your talents, your ability. They're given by God. They're to be used for God. And one last thing, just a thought. They'll be judged by God. In our text, as we come back, the master returned. And he didn't just come back into town and go up to the house and just kind of carry on. And he saw five talent servants and, hey, what's up? Glad to be home. Good to see you. Everything going okay? Good, good. All right. We'll talk later. And number two, he said, hey, man, good to see you. What's your name again? Okay. And all right, good to see you. Glad everything's family okay? Good, everything's good. Okay. Number one, what's up? No. Called them all in. Why? Because they're his goods. He's responsible for them. He's going to check up on you. So, if I don't use my talents and abilities for God, I mean, is it really a problem? Yeah. It's really a problem. In Matthew 18, it says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. You know, for the Christian, there's this thing called the judgment seat of Christ. We are going to be accountable to God. In 1 Corinthians 3, it says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. The temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come. All are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ's is God's. You understand that we are going to be judged. There's going to be a time in the book of Revelation, it says, and the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You say, I'm not going to have a crown. Oh, yeah? Paul said, for I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There's going to be a well done, thou good and faithful servant. And quite possibly there may be a wicked and slothful servant. There's an accountability, folks. God doesn't do things haphazardly. Do you think? He doesn't just let bygones be bygones. No, he's a righteous judge. So it's about our stewardship. Don't forget that we're to be a good steward.
The Bible tells us and commands us to be a good steward. God wants us to do the things with what He has given to us for His glory. 1 Corinthians 4 says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." It's our reasonable service. Have you allowed God the glory and the honor and the use of your talents and abilities? Just wondering. Have you been a good steward of what God has bestowed upon you? He already knew you before you were born. He set you apart for His purpose. Will we be responsible and do what's right in His eyes?